whatever. Yeah, some of it might be financial. But let me tell you something. If you hang in there and just trust God, just trust God, your situation is going to turn around. As I look around this sanctuary today, I know that some of you are doing fairly nicely. I like that word, nicely. Amen? But it wasn't always that way. If you tell the truth, it wasn't always that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wasn't always that way. But the goodness of God, the goodness of God, hallelujah. Sister Eva likes to tell that story about how when we first started, you know, and I had one suit and her wardrobe was limited. Amen. Hallelujah. But God. Everybody say, but God. No matter, let me tell you something. No matter what you're dealing with now, there's always a but God. Hallelujah. Yeah, my body may be hurting. You may be telling yourself, but God. But God. In the fullness of the situation, listen, that situation is going to be turned around right now. You may have financial challenges right now, but God, hallelujah. See, the devil's job is to get us down and get us all sad and get us against God and be wondering why God hasn't already acted now. Hallelujah. You just hang in there. You just hang in there. God's going to take care of you until your assignment is completed, then he'll let you just come on home. Amen. God never promised us a rose garden. Amen? But he did promise us that he would be there with us through thick and thin. Today we want to talk about the goodness of God and seeing the real God that we serve. Let me tell you something. If no other message get into your heart, the message of the goodness of God needs to get in there. God is a good God. And see, when we all start demonstrating that in our lives and letting it happen, listen, there'll be more people that come to God through us. But some of us are still complaining. Some of us are still whining. Come on now. Your God is a good God. How great God is. He will never, ever, ever let you down. Never. Never, never let you down. It would have been in our benefits if we had gotten saved at 5 years old. It would have avoided a lot of foolishness. Amen. How great is our God. Amen? Amen. Look at somebody, tell them that. How great is our God. Hallelujah. It's good to be alive today.
Yes, it is.
I think, hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Now, no matter what you're going through, it's not about the message today, but no matter what you're going through, hang in there. The very fact that you're alive means that God is with you and that your assignment hasn't been completed.
Amen.
In their early 30s, listen to this. Now, in their early 30s of age, both John the Baptist and Jesus lost their lives. Cruelly. One of them had their heads cut off. And one of them was just crucified on the cross. You know I'm telling the truth.
Yes.
But their assignment at that season was done. It was done. So the very fact that you're alive, let me know a couple things. Number one, that your assignment is not complete yet, and that God is with you.
Yes.
That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. I wonder sometimes what would happen if everybody that just comes to this local church would just get in an atmosphere of, listen, there's nothing too big for our God.
Amen.
Nothing too big for our God.
Amen.
I think our issue a lot of time is that we're just trying to move the dial ourselves. It don't work, folks, or it doesn't work well anyway. So today we just want to remind you about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Make you want to shout today. Let me just review a couple things we said last week. We said last week, first of all, that God loves every person. Save unsaved, he loves everybody.
Yes, he does.
In John chapter 3, verse 16, we took you there last week, and that scripture says, For God so loved everybody in the Hoskins Christian Center.
The world.
For God so loved the world. He created this thing, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, what? Life. The goodness of God. That's a promise from God. And then we said last week that you can trust him with your life. Sometimes it takes you a little while to get to that point where you trust God with all your heart. Remember Proverbs 3 and 5? Let me throw that up if I can. It says, trust in who?
The Lord.
Trust in who?
The Lord.
With all your heart. So it's God that's going to do the thing, not us. But we get all upset because we can't move the dial. We can't make it happen. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. I've said this I don't know how many times, but are we living like that as a whole? I doubt it. Some may be, but that's the point we're trying to get to, folks. We're trying to get to the place where we really trust God because he's a good God. He's a good God. Of course, listen to me. Of course, the relationship you're worried about, they're going to be fine. Of course, your spiritual life is going to be fine. Of course, your body's going to get healed. Hey, amen. Or God will give you the grace to go through it. Of course. Of course, your finances are going to line up. Of course. Why? Because God is a good God. And he's not confused about what's good and what's evil. He's not. I told you last week, if you just get into Deuteronomy chapter 28 and just read that whole chapter, it talks about what's good and it talks about the evil, the folks that want to do good through God and the folks that don't want to do, and the consequences of those. So when you get an opportunity, I want you just to dive into Deuteronomy chapter 28, the whole 68 verses. God is a good God, folks. And if you leave here with nothing else, just leave here with that thought. God is a good God. Put that on your heart, not only in your heart, but on your lips. When folks come to you complaining, what you need to tell them, what we need to tell them is God is a good God. Whether they can see it or not, your only answer to that is God is a good God. Amen. Of course, God's going to heal your situation. Hallelujah. And when you pray for somebody, expect it to happen. Because you're praying with the authority, come on, and the power of God. He didn't have to give us that, but he's a good God. And he gave us that. Today, we want to look past the lies of Satan. And maybe for the first time, see the real God that we serve. God is a good God, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you now, when you look up at me, you're looking at a happy camper.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I talk about Friday night being camping. Hallelujah. 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 That was a good time, Friday night. I appreciate everybody that participated in that. But God is a good God. I want to take you back to the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. See, people are going through life, some saved, some unsaved, doing their own thing. And look, they think they're doing their own thing, but you're really not. You're really not. If you're not, serving God, you're really serving the devil. You're doing what he wants you to do. Whether or not you understand that or not. Let's go back to the story of Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, now the serpent or the snake was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had God had made. And he said unto Eve, the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the snake, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. How many of you know when God tell you shall not, it shall not mean shall not?
Amen.
Don't do it. How many times has God told us to go left or go right, and we just go the opposite way? She said, no. She said, but God, of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of that one. Neither shall you touch it. Don't even touch the thing. And then he gave her a consequence. He said, listen, if you eat of that fruit, or if you even touch the fruit, you're going to die. Now, hopefully that would have been enough for most of us. But unfortunately, it probably wouldn't have been. Because there's a devil. And the serpent said unto the woman, listen what he said. He says, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. See, he's all about getting us to do what God don't want us to do. He's all about getting us to do whatever it's going to take to steal the glory from God. Amen? Amen? See, some of the things we do may not be bad things, but they're just the wrong things because they go against the directions of God. He says, you shall not surely die. And then in verse 5, it says, for God does know that in the day that you eat that fruit, then your eyes shall be open. Talking about a trick. And you shall be as God. You shall be as God. Now, I know that got her. Amen? Because then her ego just rose up. You mean I can do this? I can be somebody? She said, you can be as God, knowing good and evil. See, the devil's a tricky little thing. He's a tricky little thing. And if you listen to him, I'm telling you, he's going to get you in hot water every single time. If you forget about the goodness of God and the fact that he only has good intentions towards you, you'll be messed up every single time. I look at our young generation now and I say, my God, my God, my God. How did we get here? How did we get to that point? How? Where? We hear more stories of children that just simply won't even respect or obey their guardians, whether it be their parents or godparents or whatever. I'm saying, how do we get to that point? Amen. How do we get to that? I know how we got to that point. The same way Eve got to it. Listening to the lies of the devil instead of listening for God's voice. Instead of realizing how good God was. You know, when the devil was talking to Eve, what he was saying, listen, Eve, God lied to you. Listen, Eve, God lied to you. How many folks in our culture have just moved to the situation now? Listen, when they don't even think, look, they don't think anything wrong with sexual relationships outside of marriage. I mean, it's so common in our culture that the young folks early in their life are thinking, hey, I'm just doing something. No, what you're doing is you're violating the will of God. Amen. You're violating the plans of God. For your life and somebody else's life. I'm saying, Lord, how'd this start? How'd this start? You see, is that preacher what you're talking about? Listen, I'm talking about the fact, listen, when I was 14, 15, and 16 years old, look, all the young girls could talk about was getting married. That's all they can talk about is getting married. And the guys were bragging about who they were going to marry. But now nobody talks about that. But the devil is taking it one step beyond that. Now I'm talking about the goodness of God. Amen? You've got to stay within the goodness of God. The devil is taking it one step beyond that. Now he's telling the men, he said, look, you don't need that woman. Look at that little handsome man over there. Look at his muscles. And he's telling the women, look at the pretty girl. Look at her shape. Look at her eyes. Look at her thighs. And they're falling for it. You say, well, how? See, in the generation that's coming up now, they think this is normal because that's what they see. That's what they see. Only crazy people go to church. Satan was saying to Eve, listen, Eve, God lied to you. And he's been saying that thing for generations and generations to us. What Satan was saying to Eve, he said, listen, Eve, God's not trying to protect you from harm. God's trying to deprive you of something wonderful. Something wonderful. He said, listen, Eve, God has pulled the wool over your eyes. God has tricked you. He said, listen, Eve, God's not as good as you think he is. And that's the lie he's been telling people generation after generation after generation, and they fall into that thinking that they're doing their own thing instead of following a good God. A good God.
Amen.
A God that created us. A God that has good things in mind for us. But you know what Eve did? Eve fell for it. She fell for it. You know the story. She fell for it. And ever since the Garden of Eden, the devil has been devising what I call schemes to separate us, people, from God. Ever since. And we've lost the knowledge, the reality that God is a good God. All he wants to do is bless you. We probably won't understand the fullness of his goodness till we're on the other side. But if we just understand it now and accept it, the younger the better. The younger the better. I'm convinced that young children need to be on the first row, second row, third row of some churches somewhere hearing what you're hearing as early as possible.
Amen.
I really believe that. I believe that with all my heart. They need to be hearing what you're hearing.
Amen.
Amen? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
And the one, hallelujah, God, you know, that devil is something else all the time. And the one scheme that seemed to have worked the best for the devil is causing us to doubt God's goodness. That's why so many people try to do it on their own. See, because if you really believe God's goodness, you just step back and follow the peace. You wouldn't make a move without following the peace. You wouldn't make a change in your life without following the peace. You wouldn't make any changes without going to God. Because if you knew he was a good God, hallelujah. He's a good God, good God. But that religious thing has come in here. Hallelujah. It has messed us up. It's messed us up. I was watching one of my grandkids, Jesse, the other day. Jesse just love his daddy. Anybody around Jesse just know he love his daddy.
Amen.
Love his daddy. I don't believe he could ever think that his daddy would ever try to do something bad to him or harm to him. He just love his daddy. Make me a little jealous. But that's the way we should be. Where we love our daddy.
Amen.
Are you with me? Where we love God and we know that he's just out for our goodness.
Amen.
That's what we should be.
Yes.
But the devil keeps tricking us with his schemes, making us think we're smarter than what we really are. My question is, who do you create? What world did you create? What people did you create that makes you so smart, smarter than God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to get out of that thing and of letting the devil get us to doubt God's goodness. Hallelujah. We got to get that thing in our heart. No. That's my daddy. Come on, I love him.
Amen.
I love him with all my heart. I'm waiting to hear what he tells me to do. But see, religious traditions have represented God as mad at the whole human race and looking furiously for somebody to punish. That's not God. That's not God. Anybody that will sacrifice their one and only begotten son, come on, so that you and I can get delivered, you and I can get free. What else would he not give us? What do you need? You need your body healed? Okay. You need some finances? Okay. You need relationships here? Okay. Whatever it is you need. God's not trying to punish anybody. The fact is, the Bible does not portray God being in a bad mood. That's not God. That's another lie from the devil. God is a good God. Please look at somebody else and tell them that. God is a good God. Hallelujah. See, your life don't start changing until you get to the point where you realize that. God is a good God. God's not waiting for you and I to become good people. He's waiting for us to realize that he is good. Amen? Amen. And once you realize that God is good, you'll be willing to follow him. You'll be willing to follow that peace. You'll be willing to walk in the steps he wants you to walk in. And your actions will just manifest as good. But he's not trying to get you to be good. Amen? God's not counting the number of times you went to church. He's not counting that. He's not counting the number of people that you've given an offering to or a blessing to. He's not worried about that. God is a good God all the time. If you just follow the peace, you'll be doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. God is a good God all the time. I want to just share with you Psalm 148, verse 8 and 9. 145, rather, verse 8 and 9. Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9 says this. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I had to slow down to let you know that. He's full of compassion. And he's slow to anger. And we know he's slow to anger, listen, because some of the stuff that we've done, we should have got it. You ever been a child? Listen, you did something wrong. You know you're supposed to get a spanking, but for whatever reason you didn't get that spanking. And you're so glad you didn't get it. Amen. Maybe it's because the parent or the guardian was slow to anger with you. God is slow to anger, according to Psalm 145. And it goes on and says, and of great mercy. What does that mean? That means he'll put up with a lot of stuff. Great mercy. And then it goes on in verse 9. It says, the Lord is good to who? All. Ha! The goodness of God. He's, boy, that thing ever opened our eyes up to who God is and what he's all about and who what our relationship with him is. Things gonna change in your life. And then verse 9 ends this way, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You see, the word gracious means disposed to show favor. He wants to show favor in our lives. So that verse is telling us that God is always. Everybody say always.
Always.
He's always in a favorable mood. You never catch God him having a bad day.
Amen.
God is a good God, folks. He's a good God. And the only reason folks don't serve him is because they bought into the lies of the enemy, just like Eve did. And it made her pay a terrible price, her and her husband, a terrible price. Let me just share a couple truths with you, first of all, because I believe the truth will set us free. The first truth is that God is love. Not that God has love, God is love. 1 John 4:8, listen. It says, he that loveth not don't even know God. They don't even know God. Why? For God is love. God is love. You see, these days, the world idea of love has been so, what I call, cheapened and twisted that for us to understand the kind of love that God personifies, we must, again, go to the Bible. And when I say go to the Bible, we need to go to that love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, in the King James Version, the word love is referred to the word are replaced by the word charity. And so wherever you see that word charity, they're talking about love. And I want to just grab a few of these verses about love. Because see, God is love. That's what we need. I know we don't need it. I know we don't understand that. Not cognitively. We don't understand the fact that God is love. See, because we're judging that on our earthly behavior and our earthly experiences. You know, there's things you've done and you say, well, somebody that's a loving person wouldn't have done that. There's some things I've done that you say somebody that's a loving person wouldn't do that. And what we try to do, we try to compare God with that. You cannot do that. You can't do that. God doesn't just have love. God is love. He is. Come on. Are you with me? He is love. He just is love. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. Listen. You can get a candy bar with chocolate in it, or you can get a chocolate candy bar. There's a difference. The chocolate candy bar is all chocolate. The other candy bar has some chocolate in it.
That's right.
And that's how it is. You and I have some love in it, in us. But God is love. He is love. He is love. And then he starts to identify the characteristics of love for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He starts off saying, listen, and I'm going to use the word love instead of charity. He said, love suffered long. Oh, my God. You got somebody that you've been praying for a little while and it seemed like they just won't change. Anybody got somebody like that? See, the devil will come up to you and say, you ought to just stop praying for them. They're never going to change. But God said, if you got love, then you'll be willing to suffer long.
Amen.
To suffer. Are you with me? To suffer long. Suffer long. I told you that story about my grandmother that raised me. Young lady, couldn't read or couldn't write, but she could pray. And for 31 years, 365 days a year, she had that one prayer. Lord, save that boy. Save that boy. If you spent any night in that house, you would hear her somewhere, sometime during that night, praying that prayer. Lord, save that boy. Save that boy. Now, most of us, let me tell you something. Most of us, because of our habits, are not going to pray for somebody every single night for 31 years. Not because we don't, what we call love them, but we get distracted. And sometimes we just get tired. And sometimes we believe the devil say, you don't need to do that. They're never going to change. But God said, if you got love, love suffereth long. That's love. That's real love. See, it's easy for people to say, baby, I love you. What in the world that mean? And then he goes on to says, and love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Don't puff itself up. It's not puffed up. That's real love. Come on now. That's real love. You know, maybe your status in life has been elevated, but you have a chance to interact with people that's way at the very bottom. You know, he said, listen, if you really love those people, don't go around those people acting like you all that. That's not love. And then in verse 5, he says, love does not behave itself unseemly. Amen. Seek it not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Think it no evil. How much evil? No evil about that other person. Man, I'm talking, I read this stuff. I don't know how many times I've read 1 Corinthians 13, but listen, I read, I'm saying, God, you can't really expect us to move through life like this with everybody. With everybody. What about this person over here? You know that person. They just ain't no good. But God, he'll keep coming back and says, yes, I do. I expect that kind of love to come from you. I expect that. And then in verse 6, he says, love rejoices not in iniquity, bad times, but rejoices in the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that God can save anybody. The truth is God can deliver anybody. The truth is that God can turn people's lives around. That's the truth. That's the truth. And then in verse 8, come on, verse 7, it says, now this is one here, it's kind of tight. He says, love beareth all things. What do you mean, putting up with all stuff? Yes. Yes. You know, there's some people that can get on your last nerve. I don't care what the relationship is, they can get on your last nerve. You know what I'm talking about? Say amen. They can get on your last nerve. You hate to see them come around. But God said, love bear what? All things. Love believe it all things. Love, when you love somebody, you believe, listen, you believe that their lives could be turned around by God and his great love. He said, love hope it all things. Love endure it all things. And then in verse 8, I'm the last verse I'm going to share with you. He said, love never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got somebody in life you know needs to change. Hallelujah. You show them love. Amen. You just show them love. And don't let that love ever dissipate. You show them love. You just keep showing love. All right? Now, when I say show them love, you still got to be led by the Holy Spirit. You can't just reach out there and pour a bunch of stuff on people thinking just giving them stuff is what they need. You still got to follow the peace of God and do what God tell you to do on that thing. Hallelujah. Amen. But he said if you hang in there long enough, I'm talking about that enduring and bearing and believe it all thing. If you hang in there, love never fails. Never fail. You know, after talking about my grandmother, you know, listen. You know, I could see the next door neighbor coming in there saying, her name was Tina. Say, Miss Tina, you still praying for that boy? Why don't you stop praying for that boy? Why don't you, he ain't gonna never change. Why don't you stop praying for him? Just stop praying for him. But something inside of her saying, I cannot. I believe one day, I believe she said, one day I'm gonna see God in that boy. One day I'm gonna see a change. In that boy. One day I'm going to see a change in that boy. One day. See, love never fails if you hang in there. And before she died, amen, and Katrina came, you know, that hurricane in New Orleans came, and she had to evacuate, she wound up here. Mm-hmm. Now, it must have been 2007 when we got this church and we were fixing it up. She wound up here. Hallelujah. And after 31 years of praying, hallelujah. And the thing that made her pray was her love. Amen. But after 31 years, she wound up in this church seeing that boy that she prayed for every day because of her love for him. Come on. With a title of pastor and praying the good news to people. Amen. Amen. She was saying, no, he going to get saved. No. 31 years.
Yes, Lord.
I don't care how long you got to wait.
Yes, Lord.
Love never fails. Amen? Love never fails. Love never. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The question is, doesn't the Bible say that God is a jealous God? Hallelujah. Yes, it does. But God isn't jealous over us for his own sake, but for ours. I want that thing to sink into you. God knows that if we worship other gods or destroy him in other ways, we'll fall into trouble and get hurt.
Amen.
That's what God is jealous of. He's jealous for our sake. He's jealous. God wants to look out for you and I. God wants us to have the best. God knows that the devil is out there waiting, just waiting to do us harm, and he wants to protect us. These young folks that you see running around, and I use that terminology, young folks, it could be 40, 50 years old, doing the same thing. But especially the young folks, they don't understand that. They just think that you chose to go to church and they don't want to go to church. That's all they see. Because they can't see the bigger spiritual picture. Not at all. Hallelujah. God is a good God. But God knows that the devil is just out there waiting to get us, waiting for us to take control of the thoughts, waiting for us to decide on our own, come on, what God we going to serve. Everything God tells us to do is for our good, hallelujah, and for our protection. Why? Because God is a good God. God's not trying to hurt anybody. He's not trying to harm any of us. He's a good God. Who would not follow that God? Who? We're God's children, and he wants us to obey him. Why? Because he wants to see us bless.
Amen.
Bless. Prior to getting saved, I was making those decisions. We all make those decisions. Listen, I thought they were going to, everybody want riches and fame, all that crazy stuff. Amen? But I realized that the path that I was on really wasn't taking me where I needed to go. Or where I really wanted to go internally. But once I gave my life to God, hallelujah, everything changed. Why? Because God is a good God. Amen. God is a good God every single time. Hallelujah. We're the same way with our own children. We really are. We don't make rules for our children just to restrict them and to make our lives easier. Is that not right? We don't do that. What we're trying to do, we're trying to help them. Trying to help them stay safe. Why? So that they can live long on earth and that things will go well with them. That's all we want. That's all any parent wants that's in their right mind. But that's all God wants from us. He's trying to protect us and keep us safe so that we can live long and we can be blessed. Don't you want that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more I stand up here and say this stuff, the more I'm almost convinced that those children need to be right there on those front benches.
Amen.
Right on the front benches hearing the same thing. Amen. They hear so much foolishness that's originated by the devil, they're really confused.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're really confused. They're just confused. God is a good God all the time. As parents, we want our children to obey us. We say that because that obedience will open the door for us to bless them. It's really, let me tell you something, it's really hard to bless a 5-6-year-old child when they just rebellious and disrespectful and won't do anything you tell them to do, you know, and then come up and say, I want a popsicle. Oh, you ain't getting no popsicle here. Are you with me? Now you say, no. You, that ain't gonna work. That's just not gonna work. But we as human beings think that we could just do whatever we want to do. I don't care what age you are. And then the God of heaven, the God of everything, gonna just pour out all these blessings on us. God said it doesn't work that way. God's not trying to hold things back from us, but he's a good God. He's a good God. God is the same way as an earthly parent. We just want our children to be blessed. That's all. You know what? Listen to me. Let me just stop here for a second. Listen. I don't know if you ever experienced it. You know, there's a lot of people in this building that have raised children. You know, there's nothing better than to have a child, listen, that's totally submissive to your will in the home.
Amen.
Can I get a witness to that?
Amen.
There is nothing better. There's nothing better. You know, it's something about a child. It could be a 14-year-old child. You say, can you take out the garbage? You know, be glad to dad and just zip up and go take out that garbage. Gotta laugh. Amen. Just think about having one of your children growing up and they're just so submissive to you. All they want to do is please you. All they want to do is bless you. Come on now. Don't you know you're gonna bless those children?
Amen.
In every way you can. You will make so many sacrifices for those children. So, come on, so many sacrifices for those children. That's all God wants. The same thing you and I want. Same thing.
Amen.
The second truth. God won't leave you out. Let me say that again. See, a lot of people think, well, you know, that's for that person, that person. God won't leave you out. There may be times when you have fallen into disobedience, and some of us have. And maybe when you've done that, you feel so unworthy that you're tempted to think that you're going to be left out. Left out of God's blessing. God won't lead you out. Remember David? David, when he was king, slept with this man's wife. Come on.
Amen.
Slept with the man's wife, got her pregnant, tried to trick the man into thinking it was his baby. And when all that stuff didn't work, he had the man killed. And then God, I said, God, you got the nerve to call such a man, it's a man after your own heart. If anybody needed to be left out, it need to have been David. But David repented. Hallelujah. Amen. David repented. He repented. And God said, you'll never be left without a descendant upon the throne.
Amen.
I said, God, how you gonna do that? Do you? I said, God, don't you know what this man did? Don't you know what the man did? Stole that man's wife, got her pregnant, and then got the man killed. And then you say he's a man after your own heart? God said, truly, he didn't just say the words in his heart. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When you're walking with God and you do something wrong, that thing gonna hurt you so bad. You're gonna spend some time crying and repenting. That's reality. That's real life. That is real life. And chances are, you, whatever that thing is, you're not gonna ever do that no more.
Amen.
Because you know how much it hurt God.
That's right.
Been there, done that. Amen. You know that.
Amen.
You know that. So I want God to say, tell them that I won't leave them out.
Amen.
I won't leave them out. Let me take you to 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, and don't try to hide it.
Amen.
Amen. Don't try to hide it. Especially don't try to hide it in Hertford County or Berkeley County or Gates County. It's too small. Are you with me? Don't try to hide it. You can hide it for a little while in New York City, but don't try to hide it. Not at all. He says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, that's a powerful word, from all unrighteousness. Why? Because he's a good God. He's a good God. Some of us wouldn't forgive some of us if we did something to hurt you. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Got quiet in here. Some of us wouldn't forgive some of us if we did something to not only hurt you or something you thought was out of ordinary. You did what, you know. Suppose I got tricked into just getting drunk downtown. Now, you know somebody going to see it. You can't get drunk downtown in Hosky and somebody that know you won't see it. Somebody going to see it. Maybe I got tricked. You know, I don't know whatever circumstances would lead to that, but maybe I got tricked. And then maybe I came to my senses and I repented to God, and I truly repented for God. The issue is, would you forgive me? I don't know. It's easy to say yes. It's easy to say yes. But it's also easy for folks to start saying, you know what that pastor did? No, I ain't going there. I ain't listening to nothing he tell me to do. You know you're drunk. And Lord knows ain't no telling what else he did while he was drunk. But God is so good. All I got to do is be sincere and say I'm sorry. I mean sincere. With all sincerity. He knows when I'm sincere. And give it to God. And God said, okay, that's fine. Let's go on to the next step. And he will trust me with all his heart. But we're different. And God is asking us to have that kind of love. Hallelujah. If we confess our sins once again, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you call on him, he will raise you back up into fellowship with him. He won't even bring it back up again. All right. How can you do that, God? Because God is a good God. Hallelujah. If you reach out to him in Jesus' name, you will receive him. That's just the way. He's not going to leave you out. He's not. I might leave you out. You might leave me out. But God will never leave us out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's a good God, folks. I can tell you not only from the Bible, but from experience, that you will never regret choosing to obey the Lord. Because God is a good God. Amen?
Amen.
This thing is good. It gets better and better. It gets better and better. Hallelujah. You know the way this thing works. Listen, you get saved. Most of us get saved. Everybody's different. But most of us get saved as a young Christian. A lot. You may slip and you may just do all kinds of any crazy stuff. And that's going to hurt you. And then you go on to the next thing and next thing. But what happens is you grow in maturity with God. Listen, not only that you know what's right or wrong, but the relationship between you and God gets so close, you don't want to do anything at all to hurt him. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Look, Sister Eva don't have to worry about me going out and cheating.
Amen.
Are you with me? Not that I got all that willpower and all that strength or I'm all that good. It's none of that. But the relationship, I would do nothing to hurt her.
Amen.
Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And that's what happens in our relationship with God. As we grow, we get so close. You get just said, I won't do it. Because it's going to hurt you, God. Are you with me? It's going to hurt you, God. But at first, you don't have that kind of relationship, most people. But as time goes on, you get closer and closer and closer to God, and you don't do nothing. I mean, you won't, you know, you just won't do anything because you don't want to hurt God. Not because it's wrong, because you don't want to hurt God. It only takes it one time for you to mess up and you realize that I don't ever want to hurt God again. Never, ever, ever. Why? Because he's so good. God is a good God. Everybody say that. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God. I have never met someone who wholeheartedly trusted and obeyed God who actually regretted it. Let go and let God just... trust him with all your heart. Quite the opposite is true. Every child of God who has known and trusted God's goodness has been eternally glad that he did.
Amen.
God's goodness is beyond understanding. Hallelujah. It's beyond understanding. Why don't you reach for it? Why don't you just ask God to help you, help reveal that to you? I guarantee you, once your eyes open up to the goodness of God and all the good that he has for you and all the blessings that he has for you, hallelujah. Number one, your life will be extremely better. And number two, you'll never do anything to hurt God.
Amen.
Never, ever do anything to hurt God. Let's go to God in prayer.
Amen.
Father God, right now, we just thank you for your goodness that's displayed toward us. Hallelujah. We thank you for all that you've done spiritually, socially, financially, and physically in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to the point where we are today, whatever situation we're in. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, for we know that it's you that has done it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We know, Lord God, beyond the shadow of a doubt that our future, hallelujah, comes, Lord God, with even more and more blessings. Not because we're good, but because you are so good. And we thank you for it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Now, if you're here today,